Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. These are the Plunderers. How Private Equity Runs and Wrecks America is a work of investigative nonfiction by financial journalist Gretchen Morgenson and financial policy analyst Joshua Rosner. The book examines the rise of private equity in the United States and argues that common deal structures and incentives often shift risk onto workers, customers, customer and communities while concentrating gains among deal sponsors and insiders. Using reported history and prominent examples from recent decades, the authors describe how leveraged buyouts, fee arrangements, and complex financing can drain operating companies and leave them fragile in downturns. They also focus on the policy environment that allowed the industry to expand, including deregulatory trends, limited transparency, and a revolving door between government and finance. Written for general readers as well as those with an interest in markets and regulation, the book aims to make opaque financial practices understandable and to press a public interest case for stronger oversight and clearer disclosure of private equity economics and impacts. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the leveraged buyout playbook and why debt changes everything. A central topic is the leveraged buyout structure that helped private equity scale. The authors describe how acquisitions are often financed with large amounts of borrowed money placed onto the acquired company, not the buyer. That design can magnify returns when business goes well. But it also makes the operating company more vulnerable because cash flow must cover interest and principal before investing in staffing, equipment, service quality, or long-term innovation. The book emphasizes that this vulnerability is not an accidental byproduct, but a feature of the model. Leverage can turn modest performance into high equity gains for owners, while the downside is frequently borne by the company itself and those who depend on it. When conditions deteriorate, heavily indebted firms may respond with layoffs, reduced benefits, deferred maintenance, or aggressive price tactics, and in the worst cases, they end up in restructuring or bankruptcy. By focusing on mechanics rather than abstractions, Morgenson and Rosner help readers see how financing choices can shape corporate behavior and why debt-heavy ownership can produce outcomes that look less like stewardship and more like extraction. Secondly, fees, dividends, and other ways value can be extracted early. Another major theme is how private equity firms can generate income from portfolio companies even before a successful turnaround or sale. The book explains that beyond any eventual profit on exit, deal sponsors may charge management and advisory fees, collect transaction-related payments, and structure distributions such as dividend recapitalizations. These cash flows can benefit the private equity owners regardless of whether the operating company becomes healthier. The authors argue that such arrangements can create misaligned incentives. It is possible for owners to be paid while the company takes on additional obligations or loses financial flexibility. From the perspective of employees and customers, the practical result can be pressure for cost-cutting, reduced service levels, and short-term decisions intended to protect near-term cash rather than resilience. The book treats these practices as difficult to evaluate from the outside because the full economics may be obscured by complex disclosures and limited public reporting, especially when companies are privately held, by laying out the common categories of extraction. The authors connect the industry's profitability to specific contractual and financial mechanisms rather than to managerial skill alone. Thirdly, real economy consequences jobs, service quality, and community stability. Morgenson and Rosner repeatedly tie financial engineering to everyday outcomes in the real economy. They argue that when a portfolio company must prioritize debt service and owner payments, the resulting operational choices can affect workers through layoffs, wage pressure, benefit reductions, and weakened bargaining power. The book also highlights how customers and communities may experience the effects. Indirectly reduced staffing can mean slower service, deferred maintenance can reduce reliability, and a fragile balance sheet can push companies toward abrupt closures or reorganizations. While private equity supporters often emphasize efficiencies and professional management, the authors focus on scenarios where efficiencies look like hollowing out. They present private equity not as a niche corner of finance, but as a powerful ownership model that reaches into sectors people rely on, including areas that influence public well-being. The broader point is about distribution gains from deals can be concentrated among fund managers and select investors, while the costs are dispersed across employees, suppliers, local tax bases, and pension beneficiaries. This topic gives the book's argument moral and political weight by translating capital structure into lived consequences. Fourthly, opacity and accountability gaps in private markets. The book stresses that private equity operates behind a veil compared with public companies, because many portfolio companies and fund arrangements are not subject to the same disclosure regime as public issuers. Outside stakeholders may have limited visibility into leverage levels, related party payments, or the assumptions behind reported performance. The authors argue that this opacity complicates oversight by regulators and due diligence by investors, including institutions that allocate retirement money to private funds. They also describe how complicated deal documents and multiple layers of entities can make it difficult to determine who is responsible for specific decisions or to compare outcomes across deals. This topic is not only about secrecy, but also about power when information is scarce. Those closest to the transactions can shape narratives about success and failure. The authors push for clearer reporting and stronger standards so that investors, workers, and the public can better evaluate whether returns are tied to genuine improvements or to financial transfers. In their framing, transparency is a prerequisite for accountability, and without it, harms can persist even when they are widely suspected. Lastly, policy choices. Regulatory drift and the revolving door problem, a final important topic is the enabling environment that allowed private equity to expand with limited constraint. Morganson and Rosner describe a long period in which deregulation, lighter enforcement, and faith in market self-correction reduce scrutiny of complex financial practices. They also discuss how influence can travel through personnel, with experienced industry figures moving into advisory or governmental roles and back again, shaping rules and priorities in ways that may favor private capital. The book suggests that even when concerns arise, reforms tend to be incremental and vulnerable to lobbying, while the industry adapts quickly to preserve profitable structures. This is presented less as a conspiracy than as an institutional pattern. Concentrated expertise in money can steer policy in subtle ways, while affected workers and consumers have less organized influence. The author's perspective is that private equity is not simply a set of private transactions, but a system intertwined with pensions, healthcare access, and broader economic stability, which makes public oversight a legitimate and necessary counterweight. This topic situates the book's critique within a larger argument about how modern finance can outpace the rules meant to govern it. In conclusion, These Are the Plunderers will appeal to readers who want to understand how private equity works beyond headlines, especially those interested in corporate finance. Economic inequality, labor outcomes, and the politics of regulation. It is also useful for policymakers, journalists, and students because it translates specialized deal mechanics into a broader story about incentives and accountability. The practical benefit is literacy readers come away better able to ask concrete questions about leverage, fee streams, and who bears risk when an acquisition is announced. The intellectual benefit is a framework for linking ownership structures to social outcomes without treating finance as an abstract game. In a crowded field of books about Wall Street, this one stands out by focusing on private equity as a dominant but often opaque ownership model, and by pairing investigative reporting with a sustained critique of the policy environment that lets the model thrive, compared with more neutral guides to buyouts or broader critiques of capitalism. Morganson and Rosner emphasize specific mechanisms and the downstream effects on ordinary stakeholders. Even readers who disagree with the author's tone can use the book as a map of the recurring questions that surround private equity: what is being built, what is being extracted, and who is left holding the liabilities when a deal goes wrong. If you would like to support Gretchen Morganson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.